meeting is called to order. We're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, but before that, if you could silence your phones, that'd be great. Okay?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And second item on the agenda is a public comment. Public comment on any items on the agenda. Hearing none, let's go to item number three, the approval of minutes for January 11, 2022.
I move that we approve the minutes for January 11, 2022.
All right, then the meeting approval of minutes for January 11, 2022.
Aye, favor. Aye.
Okay,
aye.
Great. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda for today, February 8, 2022.
I motion that we approve the agenda for February 8, 2022.
Any other? All in favor?
Aye.
Approval. Okay, next item is number informational items. Let's get a report from Sandy Valley Volunteer Fire Department. Mr. Chief Ken Smith, is he here?
Okay.
Let's go to the second one. A report from Metro regarding any activities. Sergeant Pickerel, are you here? Yep.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Nothing new to report. We're still working off what we talked about last time. So, with that said, if anybody has any questions for me, I'll probably take a few minutes to answer for you.
Last time you did not tell this group that the next new resident officer is from Sandy Valley.
Say again, I'm sorry.
Last time you did not tell this group that the new resident officer is from Sandy Valley.
Oh, okay. Maggie brings up a great point. So if anybody is familiar with our station, we have 10 officers and our area of responsibility is from state line all the way to Red Rock. The unique thing about working at the station that we work at is the officers have to be highly qualified and they have to have a skill set that a lot of the officers don't have. Why is that important? It's important because out here is a different kind of type of person, right? And I am mindful when I make a selection of the officer coming out to our station. So I've been dealing with a lot of retirements over the last year. And rightfully so, everybody's aging out and stuff like that, the years on. So one of my responsibilities when I was asked to come out here and take command of the station was I had to implement new officers long-term for a value investment for the communities like Sandy Valley, Good Springs, Mon Springs, Redondo, etc. So I take it very seriously because I know the type of policing that's out here. I know what needs to be done. So with that said, as a precursor, the next officer that I'm bringing out to full retirement is actually a female. It's a female out of the downtown area command, and she lives here in Sandy Valley. Why is that important? Because it adds resources and that value equity into your community. So that's going to happen on the 19th. I don't know if you met her or not. It's Officer Scanlon. She has a great skill set. She has a COP background. I'm bringing her up also for that skill set to help me out with some of the admin work. And it just adds value to this community and Good Springs. Because right now, when I came out here, we had 3 officers out in Sandy Valley. 2 are retired. So, I'm sorry. We had 4 officers. 3 officers. 1's retired. One's going to be retiring. That will be me, one more officer out here. Now with the added value of scaling, it gives me 2 officers long term. And that's my whole thought process is long term because to bring an officer out here, it costs the department money because we have to train them in search and rescue. They get take-home vehicles. We have a lot of gear. There's a lot involved. So that's why the investment has to be long term. And that's one of the things that I use in the selection process is just that. Where do they want to go in their career? Because if they say, well, in 2 years I want to be a vice detective, I've got to reconsider that because I can't invest short-term into a long-term solution. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it took a little bit of a lot of research, but when I went Valley-wide to see who I should select, that's one of the things that I took into consideration. There's actually another officer that lives out here who I'd love to get to our unit, but he likes doing what he's doing in town, and I don't blame him at all for everything, right? So that's what Megan's talking about. She comes out on the 19th. All signs are good, and we'll go from there.
Great.
Did I miss anything?
Anybody else?
And she is a really lovely person, and they moved out here. She and her husband moved out here before she got this job. So she moved out here because she loves it. So that's
I can't speak for her personally, but I do know that they're committed to this community. That was one of the selling points for me. She's young, which is a little different for us out here. But it's okay. One of the things that I did when I chose the selection process, when I came out here, the selection process used to be simple. It was people would put in a resume, and they would have to have all these prerequisite classes, search and rescue, interdiction, traffic. There was a lot of things that they had to get. And then what they would do was they would whittle down to the officers that met that requirement, and then they would select out of those officers. Well, one of the things I changed was when I came out there, the resume is good, right? I did not hedge my bet on the resume because I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I have never received a resume that says I'm lazy, right? So I kind of removed that process, and the process I implemented was, and I explained this to the chain of command, was it's all about getting the right people out of here. We can train them search and rescue. We can train them interdiction. We can train them A, B, and C. But it's all about getting the right person out here. And right now, I'm a pretty good record. So I'm expecting the same from her. Like I said, she's young, but it's a long-term investment. I know I will not get my investment back for another year or two as far as knowledge and skill set in certain fields. That's okay because what she brings is value to the community, and I'm okay with that. So that's kind of where we're at with that.
All right, thank you, Sergeant Pickerel.
Yeah, and just one second, I apologize, man. My partner here, Ranger Boyle, I just want to introduce him too. He's with the BLM. Time permitting, they're going to try to come to these meetings as much as possible, but they get pulled in 100 different directions too, and there's less of them in a bigger area of real estate. So I just want to take a few minutes, let him talk to you real quick so you get to know him, and go from there.
Great.
Thanks, sir. So yeah, my name is James Boyle. I'm a ranger with the Bureau of Land Management. We are trying to get back into the community meetings to reach out to all of our neighbors for all the public lands we have out here. Obviously, Sandy Valley has a lot of public land surrounding it, and I'm sure there's all sorts of interactions that our agency has with everybody. Just a couple, I guess, news tidbits from the BLM. We did publish our 2022 year-round fire restriction that usually comes out every year in the winter. That will be very similar to what you've seen in the past, but this year's did include year-round prohibition on the use of tannerite as a target. Tannerite's that exploding target people use. That causes a lot of wildfires. I think we had 63 fires in the Southern Nevada district last year that were human caused. That's a big impact on our taxpayers for paying for all those fire suppressions and everything like that. So to get ahead of it, the tannerite was added this year. And the only other, I don't recall if it was on last year's or not, but steel cord ammunition for target shooting is now prohibited because the steel cord and the cheaper ammunition tends to spark more fires as well on the public lands for the open shooting areas. In addition to that, we're filling up our ranks. We've had a pretty big void in the last couple of years with the Ranger Division. Southern Nevada is supposed to have 17 Rangers. I started in April last year, transferred from the National Park Service, and there were eight field field rangers, and we just a week or two ago filled our 17th slot, so over the next 6 months we will have a full staff of rangers, which means you'll be seeing more BLM rangers out in the community, all the public lands out here, doing more active patrol instead of just following up on things that people are calling in, because we'll be able to expand our range, if you will. But other than that, that's all I really have. Just wanted to come out and introduce myself and then solicit any comments that are questions that I can try and look up the answer for. Yes.
How many of those fires were caused by tannerites?
I don't know that statistic off the top of my head. I know some were. I don't know the exact number of those that were tannerite versus just target shooting in general, but there was a number of them. If you'd like, I can try and look that up for you. But that's all I know about that off the top of my head.
Okay, I was curious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the office? Is there an office in Las Vegas for the BLM?
Yeah, so we have Southern Nevada District is all of Clark County, Nye County, and the southern part of Lincoln County. The district office is on North Torrey Pines, kind of northern Vegas. That's also the, and then that district is divided into three sub-districts or field offices. There's the Las Vegas field office, which covers Las Vegas. Then there's the Red Rock Sloan National Conservation Areas field office, headquartered out of Red Rock. And then there's the Pahrump field office, which covers everything in Nye County. And they have a field office in Pahrump, but a lot of their personnel actually work out of our district office in Las Vegas. I guess they've found that's an easier way to attract employees, is to have a satellite office in Las Vegas, but that's kind of where our offices are at. I do have, if anyone wants contact information for the law enforcement division, afterwards I can get you that. We have a new email address that we're using, and that's kind of a way to report. Let's say someone dumps some trash or something out there, you can send some pictures and GPS coordinates to that, and one of our supervisors will send it out to one of the field rangers to come investigate, hopefully catch the people that are doing that sort of stuff.
And we work really closely together, so if there was ever something you needed, we just had a situation about 3 weeks ago. Christine Brown's son found a giant hole, well hole, that was about 125 feet deep, just in the middle of BLM land. It was a cased well, and she sent me a video. We worked with BLM. They came out and worked with Nevada Division of Mines and fenced it and took care of it. So if you ever have something like that come up, we work very closely together.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks.
I'll hang around to the meeting if there's anyone who wants to have a side conversation. I'm here all night.
Thanks so much.
You can go back to the fire.
Ranger, let's go to Sandy Valley Volunteer Fire, Chief Smith.
Ken Smith, Sandy Valley Fire Department. Month of January, we ended up with 14 medical calls, one helicopter flying out. We said goodbye to one of our residents out here, and we ended up with two fire responses. Short of that, it's actually not too bad. The way things have been setting up with County Fire, and then with our status as the second busiest outlying fire station in the county, funds have come recently available for newer equipment. Now, while we do have some pretty decent equipment next door to the station, when we were asked if we would like to get something a little bit newer, I told them I would be very proud to actually hand off our engine, which is only 3 years old, to another station that wasn't as busy because of the shape it's in. It's so good. Other items like our water tender that is really kind of coming up on its well past its prime. I'll just put it that way. When we got it, it was already hand-me-down. We're actually slated for a new water tender. They're looking at replacing our squad again. We just got that. So they're putting us in pretty good position to continue. County Fire is actually making that investment back into the communities, make sure that we have all the resources that we need. But now, the biggest thing is anyone who's available doesn't mind losing sleep at night. Come up by the station sometime, let us know what's going on, and if there's something you want to do to help. And short of that, we'll see what we can do about getting you on that membership. Short of that, I don't have anything else. Anyone have questions for me? Perfect.
Great. Thank you. Receive a report from Sandy Valley Schools regarding news, upcoming activities.
There isn't a whole lot of news. We are heading towards the end of basketball season, high school basketball season. We have one more game on the 11th, but it is, I believe, away. Pretty sure they're getting to the playoffs. I don't know where they're at right now, but I think that they're doing really well. I think the girls are doing really well also. Middle school basketball has started. We were short some girls, so now the girls are playing with the boys, so that's interesting. We also are having a tournament on the 18th and 19th, and I believe it's open for anybody if they'd like to come. A basketball tournament for high school. And I believe that's all I have.
I thought it was the playoffs.
The tournament?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the playoffs?
I think it is.
That I do not know.
And I think the game tomorrow.
I keep being told it's a tournament.
Is supposed to be the determining factor of whether it is first seed or last seed.
Oh, I have no idea. They keep calling it a tournament, so I just figured it was a tournament.
Playoff tournaments are tournaments.
That's a big difference, huh?
Playoff tournaments are tournaments.
Well, I understand that, Greg. But what I'm saying is I was not aware it was a playoff tournament. I just thought it was a regular tournament where everybody just meets and comes in.
The NIAA playoff tournament.
Perfect, good. Then yes, please, if we're hosting that, that's a big deal for our school. I don't believe we ever, ever hosted a tournament like that.
All right.
One other little thing for the schools. We're still short drivers, bus drivers, so if anyone you know wants to drive a school bus to get the students to school, it can be full-time, could be part-time. So if you hear anybody who would really be interested in it, we need them.
Okay. Let's do Clark County Parks and Rec. Shauna, do you have anything for us?
Yes, I am having on February 25th from 10 to 2, I'm doing a quilting club. So if anybody's interested, they can bring their quilting stuff and come down and get together and quilt.
What time is that at?
10 to 12.
What day is it?
The 25th is Friday.
That's Friday.
And if you don't have a project, you can still come and chat, or I have a microwave potato bag that you can make.
Okay.
And then I'm also open to suggestions for other activities or classes to do.
Okay. How about Valley Electric? Is Terry here? No? Anything at all? Megan, did she send anything?
No, I didn't get anything.
Okay, and then let's do Clark County Administrative Services. Megan.
That's me. I don't have a whole lot tonight. Family Dollar's moving along. I think you all can see new stuff's happening. It's very exciting. I don't have a date yet because there's still one thing that we're negotiating with the county and the fire department about. So don't have a date on that yet. The gas station is getting really close. I think they have one last fire inspection before they're going to open. So they're going to have a little opening ceremony, and they'll let us all know about that. And the development that they came to talk to us about last month in June, they go to the Board of County Commissioners next meeting, I believe, for final approval, so I'll let you know as that moves along. And Starbucks is getting really close, so lots of stuff going on.
I believe they're training the day, February 19th,
I'm not Starbucks.
Necessarily opening.
Yeah, they're training.
Oh, people are getting trained, baristas are getting trained, so.
Yes.
So that's good,
I smelled coffee coming from there the other day.
Oh yeah, cool. That's really all I have tonight. I had some stuff come up last week and was off unexpectedly, so I'm a little behind, so I apologize. Does anybody have any questions for me?
The road. PLM's here.
I know, you see the pink ribbons are survey markers, and somebody commented on Facebook that it's not going to be 5 lanes wide. No, it's not going to be. When surveyors come out, they have to set certain points that are known points, which they can like triangulate from. I'm not a surveyor, but they have to set known points so they can get other points. So they are doing the survey and working on the plans, and they gave me an update, and they're in the middle of making the plans. It's a complicated process, so, and dealing with a really crappy road that we inherited, so.
Can I ask, they're paving Jade, and do they just randomly select like a road every so often to do, or?
So every year in the fall, we do budget requests. And one of the budget requests was big picture, pave more roads. And so over the past few years, Jade was the one that was put up as the priority.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Anything else for me?
Okay, seeing nothing, questions, let's go on to planning and zoning. Item one on there, the Arrow Development Corporation, the use permit second extension of time. Okay, go ahead. Be sure to let us know who you are, too. Yeah.
Greg Esposito, 1442 White Drive, Las Vegas, Nevada, representing the applicant, the Hoosier Desert Training Facility. I was here 2 years ago in front of this body asking for the first extension of time. And if you told me then why I'd be back here 2 years later, things would have been a little different. But the only reason that this project hasn't moved forward is COVID. I mean, you know, they got approved for the first extension of time in November of 19. And then, of course, you know, everything goes south. And as you can imagine, supply chains, the different companies and people that they were working with as far as what they were bringing to town, got put up in the air. But this sort of a training facility is still needed, and even more so maybe now than ever. If you're not familiar with the application, the original application, off of Hoosier Road, just as you're coming down out of the hills, Hoosier Mine Road then loops back into those hills. And there's a 126-acre parcel where right at the entrance, this training facility is going to set up what they call a major training facility. It's not a gun range. You know, the neighbors aren't going to go out there and just plink around. This is going to be where groups, law enforcement groups, casino security groups, that need extensive specialized training come to train. Situational training, you know, be it cars, you know, or houses, or as I said, casino floors. This is highly specialized stuff. The owners have contracted with more people now that are going to both do the training and need the services. And so we are asking for the second extension of time. The county has recommended approval, but this is the last one. Basically, the county said, if you don't get it going by 2024, don't come back. And so we are asking the body to go with the county's recommendation, and I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
I motion that we give them the second extension of time.
I agree.
All in favor?
Oh, I have to open up the public comment first.
Oh, public comment?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
But anybody have anything to say?
Can you say where it is again when you come down the mountain coming this side?
Yeah, so as you're just seeing Santa Valley Square in front of you, there is a road that goes off to the left, and it's called Hoosier Mine Road, and that loops all the way back into the mountain. And so it's going to be very protected, no chance of anything, any stray bullets or anything like that. It's been very secure.
I visited the site. It's way back in there, and a really rocky road. It's pretty remote.
What about the noise? I'm concerned about the noise. Because, I mean, I was probably here when we already talked about it, but I just recently I've been a little bit, well, just for instance, I was way out in Horse Thief Camp. I was hiking out there. And that's probably like 3 miles, 9 miles from here, about 3 miles to Horse Thief Camp. And I could hear the helicopter people way up there and dropping their stuff. And it just, I mean, they're already permitted, it's already done.
There's a gun range between where he's talking about.
I know, I've been out there. I've been out there.
It's a mile closer to, but we rarely hear.
You've got 3 miles between also.
Oh, yep, okay. Yeah. Yep, okay. I just wanted to...
I mean, if you're out there hiking in those hills, I'm sure you're going to hear it.
Yeah.
But I will say, chances are it's not going to be... If it was a regular gun range, it would be the entire time it's open because it's just people going out there. Especially training, it's going to be short. They're going to train. They're going to go to class, you know. So it's not going to be the constant repetition of a normal gun range.
Okay. Good, I just wanted to know. We already permitted it. So everybody, any other comment, public comment? Okay, seeing none, let's go ahead and vote on it here.
I didn't hear who motioned.
I motion. I motion to get an extension of time.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yep, thank you. Next one is the Medina, Lucio Medina. Lucia, Mr. Medina, go ahead. Or it's a design review. Medina, okay, sorry. Thank you.
We have some handouts here.
Thank you.
So you guys can see this a little closer. Great. If you can't see.
All right, we can share here.
Good evening, Phil Wakefield, 9816 Gillespie Street, here to represent the applicant. This is for a design review based on the fill required for this property. This site's located at 1770 Woods Avenue. It's on the corner of Woods and Potomac. Northwest corner is about a 2-acre piece. The owner of the property is looking basically to build a house. And in their review with Clark County, it was determined that there, because of the, we designed things to the 100-year storm, that they need to elevate the house. And this house has to be elevated 3.5 feet above the existing grade. What else can I say? That's essentially all they're doing. It's pretty straightforward.
They're just changing the grade of the property?
Yeah, you can see right here, they're not really... We're just showing the grade around the house being elevated.
So it's just around the house?
Correct.
Okay, it's not the whole property?
No, we're showing improvements around the house to elevate it above 3.5 feet above existing grade. They do have to have a driveway. They're taking their access along Potomac. Other than that, I can answer what questions I can on the design review.
You guys have any questions?
This will not affect the flow of water to the surrounding properties.
It's just around the house. It's just that's
a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I'd
like to prove it.
Do we have to open it up for comments?
Comments, anybody?
Essentially, this is just a residential house. He's just moving he's just raising the grade of just the house footprint.
Looks to be out about maybe 10 feet from the house is about it.
Is this an existing house?
Yeah, this is an existing house. Right?
No, he's proposing.
No, he's building it.
Oh, he's building it.
Right.
Yeah, he just wants to build a building pad that raises it up 3.5 feet.
And we don't get applications like this out here very often, but this is not an unusual thing throughout Clark County, especially when you have lots that slope. Sometimes they have to bring in extra dirt. In this case, it's for flooding. And for the code, you're only allowed to do 18 inches. That's going to be changing soon, but right now, you can only do 18 inches. So if you have a site that slopes very much or has flooding, you have to ask for permission to bring in more than 18 inches. That's also to protect your neighbors, so you don't build it up 10 feet tall, so you're looking over your neighbors. So this one is for drainage, but sometimes it's for other things.
Any other public comment at all?
Okay.
Seeing none, let's go ahead and take the vote. Who all approves it?
I move we approve it.
I second it.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So let's see. Any general business?
None.
No general business? Okay, comments to the general public, a period devoted for comments by the general public about matters relevant to the council's jurisdiction will be held. No vote will be able to be taken on matters not listed on or posted agenda. Any public comment?
Oh, I have one. I'm not the public right now, but I still need someone else to fill the board. So please, if you know anybody that's interested in having a seat on the board, please consider applying. Suzanne?
Yeah. Come on, Suzanne. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, please talk to anybody that might be interested.
Okay. I'd like to comment about some maps. Now that the gas station is going to be permitted and it's going to be running, and with BLM here, I would like to have some kind of overlay, like a couple places in regards to ATVs, so they're just not trompsing all over the area without, you know, there's some trails, and I'd like to see the trails outlined so they're just not making new trails out here.
Well, I'm pretty sure the last time we talked to somebody, there were no actual trails out here, right?
Right.
So forgive me, I'm a little new to the area, I don't want to be the subject matter expert, but...
Okay.
The area has routes that are absolutely established, but then there are the socially established routes. For general enforcement purposes, we typically consider those to be routes that are established. Once they've been there a long time, we don't necessarily change the... it's too much impact to kind of plow it over and replant and everything. So those areas, for general enforcement stuff, we don't really differentiate between those.
Okay.
I could look for a map. I know we don't have any specific OHV closures, so it's just general public lands. And this area would be in a what's called limited use management plan. So as long as it's an established roadway, OHVs are approved, as long as they're registered in the state of Nevada. And also need to like spark arrest and requirements and a few other things like that. Which I'm more than happy to bring a bunch of information on next time if you have more questions on OHVs. But
I'm just concerned because there's a lot of posted like 415 out here, some of the other posted trails that you have.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see more of a map. So the people are going to come out here now that we have gas.
Yes.
It's going to be a thoroughfare out here. I'm just saying. I think it might be. I don't mind that.
If they don't know about the trails, they won't think much about coming out here.
Well, and they can't map trails that aren't official trails. Because then you would be inviting people to be creating trails that aren't official trails. So let's work together and find out.
We can also
I don't think there's that many actual official trails out here.
Okay.
Especially for OHVs.
Yeah, but can we just I'd like to put a signage out there that you just can't go out in the desert on BLM land and create your own trail.
Where are you going to put that sign that people are going to see it?
By the gas station?
This is a problem everywhere.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
Is.
It is a problem everywhere, but...
the biggest problem is that everybody knows they're not supposed to be driving where there's no roads. They know it's illegal. If they're going to do it, if they see a sign, it's not going to make a difference. It's just a sign.
The signs help with the uneducated person who is wanting to do the right thing, like you're saying, but it's not an end-all, be-all.
Yeah, but both of them are traveling someplace else.
Correct. But I think we will see probably more rangers out there, which may reestablish that certain activities are allowed and certain activities are not. But we can definitely look at... I know we have maps of the approved routes, and so maybe just, I don't know if you want to publicize, because if you publicize the maps, then that's going to track.
Right.
It's going to track the name. Mm-hmm.
But I can definitely work on getting a hold of those if you'd like to look at
them. Yeah.
Once you put it on a map.
Yep, once you put it, it's.
Yep.
So,
once it goes on the GPS.
And I don't know that. If somebody, just from my experience, if somebody wants to come out here and act like a jerk and drive all over the place, a map isn't going to make one bit of difference. If they aren't respectful of the rules and laws anyway, I think you're at a person who they can't just be driving all over the place. So this actually brings up a bigger discussion that maybe we need to be looking at in the future. And I've brought it up a couple times and I've never gotten a clear voice from the community is whether to make this an OHV-friendly community, which means we have specific routes. Well, Moapa Valley has done it because they use them to get around in town. And so the beauty of it is that you can specify routes. You can specify, like, you can only go on these specific routes, and then there's signage. They do it up in Utah a lot, like Duck Creek. Those places do it a lot. But the flip side of it is then we would have to follow those routes too if we want to drive around and get places. So I think as people start getting outdoors more again and getting OHVs, I think it's going to become more of a concern. Where I am down south, we don't have a lot of people being disrespectful, I don't think, in our area. I don't find that. Some of them go by my place pretty quick because we're at the end there. So if there's other places that are going bad, maybe we can do some targeted enforcement. But for now, I kind of feel like we should let it lie and see what happens. And when it's time to address it, then get the real feelings of the community. Because I've gotten very mixed feelings. I've gotten absolutely in no way.
So. Okay. All right. Okay. Sounds good.
Can I make one comment? I know we already finished.
No, go ahead. This is what it's for.
Have nothing to do with this other than I attended last year and a lot of people in Sandy Valley didn't know it. At the Sandy Valley Ranch, April 22, which is Earth Day, the big event thing that the other person has going on. But April 22 and 23 at Sandy Valley Ranch is Cirque du Soleil coming back again.
Oh, and did you go last year?
Awesome.
Was it great?
It was awesome. It's not cheap, I'll tell you that. So don't tell your kids. Don't bring the whole family because it's pretty expensive or whatever. But you sit on bales of hay, and they have the performers, and there's all. It was just the coolest thing to have in our town. And so few people in Sandy Valley even knew about it.
You said April
22nd? That's April 22 and 23, a Friday and a Saturday night.
That's exactly what this time is for.
I know. Somebody thinks, like, I'm part of it. I'm not. I just went to it last year, and I want people to know about it because it's right there, and it was so much fun. It was so cool.
I'm glad they're coming back.
Yeah, because I thought it was a one-off just because they were all out of work, and we'd never see it again. And it was so successful, they're doing it again. And they had, you know, food and drink, and it's just really fun. It's I sat in the cheap seats, the bleachers outside of the arena with my family, but there's bales of hay, and then bales of hay with blankets on it, even closer, and it was like, I don't know, 120, 80, 60, whatever, I don't know. The tickets aren't even on sale yet, but they're gonna be soon, it sounds like.
Thanks for
that. So 22, 23.
And the tickets are going to be on sale at Sandy Valley Ranch, or how do you buy tickets?
No, you just go online. Yeah, it's
through Sandy Valley Ranch.
IgniteNV.com. IgniteNV.com, I think, is the website for it. And I just put my name on the, I'm waiting list, so when the tickets go on sale, they'll notify you. And they sold out pretty quick last time. I was amazed. People, it was all Las Vegas people that came out. It was very few Sandy Valley people, I think. Super Bowl.
Great. Suzanne, thank you so much for that. Any other public comment at all?
One question. Getting back to Megan with letting it lie for a little bit. I'm on board with the gas station and people with four-wheelers. That's why I'm here tonight. I should be in bed by now. I work at night. We became kind of the jerks in our little firehouse. We're trying to make it nice. Obviously, the county doesn't do anything with our roads, so we put a lot of money in front of our place. Mm-hmm. Four-wheelers whipped up and down. So when I am awake, we stop them and mm-hmm. say, look, why? Don't mind going up. There's a billion places to ride. Mm-hmm. Why do you keep going up and down the roads?
What do they tell you when you talk to them?
It's public. We're not breaking the law.
We can do this. We're allowed on the road.
But they're doing spins. Mm-hmm. You can see it. I mean, they're ripping up the road. So then when it does rain, that washes.
Well, the easement technically is still the roads between the properties, the easements.
Oh, I understand.
Those are actually your property.
Correct.
Okay. And if you're maintaining them, you do have a say on they're used.
They're dedicated. They just aren't maintained. They are dedicated. They are county property.
They're doing that by our house, and they're literally, the county is out wanting to pave Jade, and every time they bring in some nice gravel and they get it all level, you see all these whoopie whoops. Mm-hmm. It's horrible, but
so the first hour every day they have to go out there and re-smooth
it.
I don't know that there's anything that I can do. I think this is an enforcement issue. What do you guys suggest?
So for the county roads,
we don't want to call them all the time.
Yeah,
but I mean, it gets old.
I know what somebody has done, and I mean, can you put a speed bump on there or anything like that?
Again, it's kind of, I'm originally came from Pennsylvania. I worked for the state, I have a handyman service, but I did property management, so I know a lot of the rules. And a lot of it is, especially out here, I grew up in a farm community, so I know it is like the Wild West a little bit, that you're allowed to do what you want, kind of thing. That's the attitude out here, and that's fine as long as it, I don't care what you do, I don't care what you know, but when it starts involving my property, mm-hmm. then it is my problem. Because I work a lot of hours, we spend a lot of money, I don't want it ruined what I'm putting up and doing. Mm-hmm. And we get the attitude like, it's whatever.
If their children give me names.
Are you finding that they're locals?
Or I was actually told by, his name is either Clark Kent or Kent. Because when I asked his name, the officer,
Ray Kent.
Okay. Well, I had told him about it. Because I have surveillance cameras that catch all this stuff, and I downloaded it from the cloud, put it on, and I wanted to give it to him to show him what's going on this street. And he said, I can't take it. He said, I can't do anything unless I actually see it.
Okay.
Is that?
Let me talk to Pick and we'll see. Maybe we can.
Yeah, just to give you that, trust me, I hear you. And if there's anybody that takes something like this seriously, it's me, because I'm not the same guy. It kind of falls, there's a couple things in play here. There's a lot of moving parts, but the main thing that we focus on, it kind of falls under be a good neighbor. And the reason I say that is, Good Springs is a big ATV problem also. So what we try to do, and what I try to do, especially in these communities, is have a measured response. And that measured response is based off a couple of principles. One, we want to educate the people that are doing it. We found when I had my guys up in Good Springs for a weekend, and I'm just spotting out numbers, it's not confirmed or anything, but I think 9 out of 10 people we stopped all of them, right? We don't want to come across like we're just citing locals. When it comes to the roadway in Clark County, this Sandy Valley is a good example of that. People use the ATVs almost like if you were in Alaska using a snowmobile, right? So when the officer, Kent, says, well, there's not much I can do unless I see it, what he's referring to is a misdemeanor in front of in the officer's presence. We cannot arrest sight off of a misdemeanor crime not committed in the officer's presence.
with the exception of the person that is filing the complaint wants to officially file the complaint against what is taking place. I'll give you an example. You're walking down the road, and a guy walks you to the gas station and punches you in the arm and runs away. It's a misdemeanor, right? So we get there, it didn't take place in our, we cannot arrest based off of that. But if you were to come to us and say, I want to press charges, we would facilitate the paperwork and the structure in place to move that forward. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Where it's challenging for us is the ATV on a Clark County dirt road, right? In a neighborhood or a community where that is, out of the 10 people riding around with their ATVs, it's the son, it's the father, it's the, you know, the commonplace, and then there's the one jerk that's doing the craziness. Does that make sense? So when I say that we use that as an educational thing or force compliance verbally, what we're trying to do is we're trying to have that measured response. Just like with the Good Springs, I told my guys, you know, we're not going up there looking like the bad guys just writing tickets to tow ATVs. We're going to go up there, explain to them the scenario, and it kind of falls on that good neighbor. I get it. It is frustrating. The same way in my personal life, where my neighbor's being like, you know what? It's like, come on, man. But in the scenario that we're in, it's that measured response. Now, if you just roll up and the guy's on ATV just tearing things up, that's a completely different story. Totally, completely different story. But you sound like you take pride in your own, and it's frustrating, and there's no doubt about it.
So when you stop them and you find out it's a local, do they come back again? Do you ever notice? I mean, does it do any good, do you think, when you talk to them?
It did for a little while. We slowed it down a little bit, but then it got cold, so.
Mm-hmm. And some of them are local. Some of them come in for the weekend.
Come in for the weekend. They have properties out
there. It's a whole commune. People just come in and have parties till 3 in the morning. They're loud.
I think it's part of the same area we've talked about before.
Another neighbor, I just spoke with her, and she said that at 3 in the morning she went over and asked them to quiet it down. And put it up in the middle of the road, they came out and pounded on the hood of her car. And so she took off. I mean, they're just out of control. It's coming. You know, spring is coming, summer's coming. And I know
what I can do is I can also refer to my guys. I will briefly send a team email. Say, listen, here's one of the letters. Let's keep an eye out so when we're out here. That's where Officer Kent's come from. He's actually on the Culture Church down the street. That's an added thing that he can look for in the back of his brain, along with the other guys that work the day shift hours, or the guys that work the mid shift. So it doesn't go unheard. The way we handle it is just with that measured response. Now, if we walk up and the guy's being a complete tool, and he has disrespect for everybody, there, you know, something's coming his way, especially if we see it. But
well, the thing that frustrates me is usually they're going so fast that I couldn't identify them. Mm-hmm. But the one day I had just pulled in my trash cans, and two of them, I'm looking down, I'm seeing all the dust, and I'm hearing these roars.
Yeah.
They're doing donuts at an intersection two lots down from me, and then they come flying up towards my house. So I'm standing right there at my gate.
Right.
And one had a hoodie and one had a helmet, but the other one I saw was clear as day. Mm-hmm. And what they don't know is you can see everything in this valley.
Sure.
I saw them go up, make a left, and I saw where they stopped. It's a local. I saw him. Mm-hmm. And we had an air to do, and after the air, I said, drive by and see if that's where they could stop. And there was the person that I could identify, mm-hmm. that it was him.
So that's what I wonder if we can work together on. If you or your officers paid a visit to them, and a friendly visit to let them know that that's not acceptable.
They did.
Oh, they did.
But you know what happened? They called the police on me for videotaping the child.
Oh, my goodness.
Officer Kent came to my house at 8:30, shining the spotlight in my window because he had a complaint that I videotaped this person's child. And I said, no, it's my surveillance cameras. He said, oh, so that's acceptable.
I don't know if you can legislate just people being nice.
And then, I'm just saying, these kids are wild. And then later, like 2 weeks later, I'm going down the McAdam towards the library. And I see a car coming up towards me, and there's all kind of dust behind it. Here is the same quad behind this car on the shoulder, and when I pass the car, they jump on the road, and they're drag racing up the road. in the cabinet. These kids are wild. And I talked to the parent, and she denied they were her kids.
She denied that they were
her kids. This is her here.
Thank you for bringing us to their attention. And I want to say something. I am the only Hispanic person in here. I was here, and this is not the first time that I want to come here. The reason she said that I denied, my English, you're going to see, is not very well. Things I understand, things I don't understand. We came here to Sandy Valley because we want to rest. The city is a lot of things happen right now. We have only one kid right now. This lady, I'm sorry, I don't know her name, came one day around my house. I don't know if I have to tell you this. I feel embarrassing, but I am surprised that her attitude. On the way that we are now, every day you can see the quad. It's not my son, but you can see. But you know what doesn't bother me? Because I came here to rest. We work in Las Vegas, the same like I explained to the officer who came to my house that day. My husband and me, we work every day painting. We are hard workers. We go very early in the morning. We come back too late just to rest. My son goes to the school, Sandy Valley. We came here not to bring problems to you. We came here to have a better life for my son. He has a quad, and he knows right now, my husband and me, we spoke with him that he needs to respect no matter where he goes. And I was very concerned what the lady was passing by my house, slowly, stopped, and my neighbor told me that she was showing pictures of my son and another son, another, his friend, asking for them. This is not for you. That's why we have officers here to come to my house and say, hey, this is happening with your son. And we as a parent, we take her because I am responsible. And then one day we went to work. So that day she passed three times. That my neighbor told me. And I was concerned. The next day we go to work and my son didn't have a school and he was on the yard and he called me, Mom, the lady is passing, she is stopping front and she looks like she's taking video. So he's 14 years old.
Are you timing this?
What I thought, that's not right. Because he's a child. And being on top of the child is not, for me, it's not disrespectful. Because I don't come to nobody in front of their house and stop my car and take video or picture or whatever, I don't know what she did, but my son has to go inside and stay in, we told him, stay inside, let me call the police. Because nobody's supposed to be in front of my house taking video or picture of my son. I was feeling so bad because I was in Vegas working with my husband and he was with his cousin. So that's why I called the police. The way that she came to my house was disrespectful because
I came to her house to talk to the parent rather than calling the police. I thought, I'm not going to call the police on this. I can identify the one child.
Tell you what I'll do for both of you. Let's continue on with the meeting. I'll gladly meet with both of you after this meeting so we can talk kind of a private setting because it's kind of taking a direction of you know.
Mediation.
Kind of a home environment type thing. I don't think it's right to enter inside a meeting. But what I'll do is I'll stick around with Officer Kent. We'll let the meeting move forward and I'll meet both of you and we can work this out. Fair enough? I promise you, I won't go anywhere.
Any other general comments that last only 3 minutes? That's okay. Seeing none, let's adjourn this meeting. And the next meeting is March 8th, 2022. And let's adjourn. Thank you so much for coming. Bye-bye.
I'm really disappointed that many people don't show up.
Yeah.
Most people only show up when they have something.
Only if it's an extreme.
Important to them.
Well, come on back some more. Nice seeing you.